Amen. You may be seated. So today we're coming to the end of our series on the distinctive witness of the church. We've talked about that distinctive part, that our message of faith is the distinctive grace of God made available to us in Jesus Christ, the forgiveness that comes to us through his life, death, and resurrection. We've talked about the witness, how each of us who have received that grace and that love in our lives are called to be witnesses, to share that grace with others. Today, we want to talk about that last word, the church. What I want for us to understand is that we are called to be witnesses, not just individually, but also corporately, together as the church. Scripture talks about the church as the body of Christ. When we believe in Jesus, we're connected to the head. But when we're connected to the head, we're connected to the rest of the parts of the body. We are not simply isolated individuals. Today is also Pentecost. And at Pentecost, we celebrate how the Holy Spirit was poured out on the disciples in a new and a different way. It marks a turning point in the story of Scripture, in the life of the early church. The disciples go from witnessing these things, from witnessing the life and the death and the resurrection of Jesus, to being witnesses, to telling others about the things that they had seen and observed. So last week at Ascension, we saw Jesus rise up into heaven and promise to his disciples that they were going to receive this gift of the Spirit. And today on Pentecost, we see that promise fulfilled. The disciples had all gathered together for this festival of Pentecost. It was another festival, just like Passover. It was 50 days after Passover, just like Pentagon means five, 50 days after Pentecost. The weather was better, and so many Jews traveled from all over the different regions to come back to Jerusalem. Jews who had been scattered over the years, scattered in the diaspora, were living in different countries. And they lived there so long that even though they probably knew Hebrew, they knew Greek, they had a different language that was sort of their mother tongue, the one they spoke most frequently. But they've all come back for this Jewish festival and celebration. And the disciples are all gathered together in one place at the time of the celebration. And while they're gathered together, the sound of a mighty rushing wind fills the place where they're gathered. And these tongues of fire do come and appear over their heads, and they're filled with the Spirit. Now, they've had the Spirit before because they believed in Jesus before that. You can only believe by the Spirit's power. But the Spirit is poured out on them in a new and a different way. And in the Spirit's power, they begin to speak in different languages. The people gather around because they hear this noise and they're confused and they wonder what's going on. And so Peter stands up with the 11 and Peter preaches this great sermon. And 3,000 people are added to the church in one day. I only wish I was that good. Power of Pentecost. But we tend to focus on Peter and his sermon. But the point that I want to make today is that at Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out on the church, on all believers. Luke says they were all gathered together in one place. We think that at that time, before Peter's sermon, there were about 120 believers who were part of a church, and they were all gathered together. Our translation says that they gathered together in a house. The Greek word there is oikos, and it can mean a private residence, building. It can mean this extended family of relationships, and it can also mean the temple in the sense of God's house. Luke uses it in that sense in at least four other places. And probably, I think, reading the text, he means that sense here as well. They were gathered together in God's temple. Private homes in those days usually were not built to accommodate 120 people. It was a festival day. They would have been gathered in the temple to worship and to pray. Peter quotes this passage from Joel that the Spirit is going to be poured out on all believers, on men and women and children. And so we think that probably it was in the temple that all 120 were there, and the Spirit was poured out on all of them. How else could 3,000 have heard this noise and had space to gather around where they could hear Peter preach? And see, here's the point. The Spirit is not just poured out on Peter, but on the church, on all believers. That's a really big deal for us. You know, see, we Americanized Christians tend to think about faith as this individual thing. We become too narrow, too individualistic about how we understand the faith. At Pentecost, the Spirit was poured out on the church, on all believers. That has several different implications for us in our life of faith. First is this, is to say that our faith is lived out as a church community. I said before that the church is the body of Christ. Christ is the head of the body. When you're connected to the head, you're connected to the rest of the body. And yet too often we try to live out our faith as if we are these isolated automatons, islands living by themselves, just me and Jesus. Now certainly there's a part of our faith that is all about you and your relationship with God. No one can believe for you. You're not saved by anyone else's faith but your own. And it's important to have that one-on-one relationship. We need to be fed and strengthened ourselves. And so if you don't have that personal relationship, I encourage you to think and pray about that. If you're not feeding yourself with daily time in the Bible and prayer, I'd encourage you to start. Just one chapter a day, a few minutes in prayer. You need that as part of your individual faith. But our faith is bigger than just the individual. You also need to be in relationship with other Christians. And I don't mean that you just sort of recognize the faces that usually sit around you on Sunday morning. I mean that you're doing life together, you're sharing life together, you're connected with this body of Christ so that you know them and they know you. You know each other's stories and lives. You see, spiritual growth is meant to happen in the context of community. Yes, on occasion, you can read a passage of Scripture or you can read a spiritual self-help book and find some growth. But most often, spiritual growth happens in the context of relationships. You need others in your life who can help you understand God's Word, who can guide you, who can give you their insights and their perspectives on what you're reading and studying and trying to understand. You need their encouragement when you have moments of doubt and struggle and trial. You need their support and their accountability as you're trying to say no to the sin that wages war against you. We are meant to live our lives of faith together. And so my second challenge for you today is to begin to live life together with other Christians, to begin to establish these relationships, not just knowing names and faces, but knowing people's lives and their stories. You need to be building those relationships now so that when something wrong happens in your life, you have others gathered around you who can support you. And you need to be gathered around others so that when something happens in their life, that you can notice and you can be there for them. This is part of the plan of God, that our faith is lived out in a church community. Second implication is that our witness is done as part of a church community. God has given His Spirit to all believers. He wants all of them to be a part of His mission to bring this message of salvation, this distinctive witness to the world. All of us have a part in it. I said before that we tend to focus on Peter and Peter's role. There's a long history of this in the church. The medieval church developed this whole system of bishops and priests and archbishops and archdeacons and cardinals and all of these different things. And the laity were reduced to sort of just sitting in the pews and consuming. So Luther comes along, and as he's reforming the church, as he's rediscovering the gospel, he also rediscovers this idea of the priesthood of all believers that's talked about in 1 Peter, that all of us are meant to have a part in this faith, in living out our faith together. Walther, the first president of our church body here in America, said that each individual believer is ordained into the ministry at their baptism. We all have a part. And yet all too often, we still fall back into this trap of setting up this barrier between clergy and laity, between professional church workers and others who can't do anything. Sometimes it's the fault of clergy who are operating out of their own unconscious need to be needed and creating these systems where you have to depend on us for the answers. Sometimes it's the fault of laity, the people in the pews, who would much rather pay somebody to do ministry for them and to them so they can just sit back and be spiritual consumers. But whatever the cause, it's not living into the reality that God has for us. We are meant as a church to witness to our faith, and that all of us have a part in it. Another reason why we sometimes hold back is that we don't feel like we're qualified or skilled to engage in witness or in ministry. We look around and we think, well, I'm not outgoing like that person. I'm not engaging like they are. I can't teach like she does. I can't sing like he can. And so I'm not worthy of being part of this ministry, the witness that's going on. As we sit on our hands, we sit on our spiritual gifts, we act as if God has not given us gifts and called us into his service. When the Bible talks about the body of Christ, it says that all of us have a part, and we're different parts. One part is a hand, one part is a foot, one part is an eye, one part is an ear. They're all different, but they're all important. When we say that the Spirit has been poured out upon the church, we mean that the Spirit has been poured out on you. You have been given spiritual gifts. You are unique and special and valued and vital to the body of Christ. Paul says, if the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smelling be? Each person has unique gifts. Each person is called to work together as the church to bear witness to these great things that God has done for us. And so you may be the type of person that has never met a stranger that can build a relationship with someone for the first time. Someone else has the gift of being able to share their testimony of what God has done in their life. Someone else is better at explaining and talking through the difficult intellectual problems and challenges to faith. And together, all of those people work together to bear witness to what God has done. The other reason why it's important that the whole church is involved in witness is that each one of you has a different set of relationships, this different circle of influence, a different set of family members and friends and neighbors and co-workers. And if we're just relying upon the pastor or a set of gifted evangelists to go out and share the message, then there are whole circles of people that we will never have access to. Each of you has access to people that I will never see, would never meet, apart from your interaction with them. And so we as a church are called to go out and to permeate into all of these different groups of people. And to do it together as a church, that you can take your friend, your neighbor who doesn't believe, and bring them into this community where others' gifts can help you bear witness to what Christ has done. We are called to witness as a community of faith. Brings us to the last point about the distinctive witness of the church. Our church community in itself is a witness. And this life that we live, if we're really living it together, caring for one another, supporting one another, it is itself, that life together is a witness. sometimes we don't live into that. And it pains me when I have to have a conversation with a member who's been hurt, who hasn't received that love and that care of the community, the body gathering around them. But when we have lived that way, when you can tell a story about this is what happened to me when I was going through a challenging time, a sickness, an illness, a death in the family, a divorce, and the church came and gathered around me and supported me in the midst of that, that is a powerful witness to a world that is so often alone and isolated. I mean, we talk, and I spend lots of time thinking and praying and wrestling with how is it that we, Trinity, as a community of faith, are going to go and share this message with the city of Shawnee and the community around us outside of these doors? What are the needs where we need to bring the healing the gospel brings there? One of the greatest needs of the community around us is that people are isolated and alone. They come home from work, they drive straight into their garage and close the door, and they don't know their neighbors. They don't have any friends. They post a little snippet on Facebook, but nobody really understands what's going on in their lives and knows the hurts and the pains. People hunger for community that's deeper than 140 characters. We as the church, when we live life together as the body of Christ, we have a great gift to offer to the community around us. Our church community itself is a witness. What is the distinctive witness of the church? It's the message of grace, of a God who loved us even when we were living in rebellion against him and sent his son Jesus into this earth to live and die and rise again so that he could open up a way for us to come back into relationship with God. It's the message that you and I have received that love and have been welcomed back into relationship with our Heavenly Father. And it's the message that those of us who've received that gift are living that life together, sharing that hope, that love with those around us. May you daily experience the love of Christ that makes you a part of his people. And may you find the power in his Spirit to share that love with others around us. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. Please stand. This time we now confess.